Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Welcome to Unknown Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Kevin, of Unknown Paranormal.
And I am Jeff, also of Unknown Paranormal.
Welcome to the show. Martin will not be joining us tonight. He is having a family dinner with his folks, so we'll catch him again next week.
And it's,
so tonight,
it's Martin
Jeff and I
next week.
Do what?
It's Martin's birthday this weekend.
Well, let's extend a happy birthday to Martin.
And if he was going to be, I thought he might be on the show tonight, so I was going to sing him happy birthday, but since he's not, I'll wait and do that next weekend.
Okay. Yeah. But, not too much going on as far as, Well, we're working on several.
Oh, let's see. We got one that we're finishing up, another one that started, four different cases of residentials.
Cool.
Going on. I have a real unique case that I just got off the phone prior to getting on the air. I'm not going to discuss it too much, but it's very unique. It's not that the location is haunted, the home. It's actually the person is haunted. She has spirits coming in her body and actually causing her body to go through physical changes. She might look really old one day, and then one day might look really young, or she might be a size 2 and then gain 40 pounds and then it's gone the next day. So it's a very unique case. It was brought to me from another paranormal investigator in the field that I'm friends with, and they couldn't help because they're too far away. So they thought about us and sent it our way. It's in the Dallas area, so I've already talked to Martin and Stacy. We're going to bring them aboard as well, because the fact that they can get over there a little bit more often than we can. But we're
right.
gonna sit down and talk to this woman and see if we can help her. She's been drugged through the dirt with other teams, filming her and whatnot, and not giving her any results or not giving her any evidence. They do their thing and then she never hears from them. So I told her that we would make our priority to help her because she's going through a lot of physical, medical issues caused by all of this. So that's what we got going on.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And so we got that going on, got a couple other cases going on top of all of that.
I got to review the Hotel Marshall evidence. I got to put together my presentation for next month's Para Unity Fest.
Cool.
Unknown Paranormal's class will be at 10:45 in the morning that day. And we're doing a class on thinking outside the box in the paranormal. And basically what we're going to talk about is Stop just going into a location and doing the single thing every single time. Walking around with K2 meters and this, that, and other, recording data, you know, same old EVP questions you always use at every location, all that nonsense. Start thinking outside the box when you go to these places and try things that are not the norm, right? And and that's what we started doing. And I'm excited that Shonda got us booked for Hill House Manor because of the fact that I've been there twice. I know that the place is highly active, and it's going to be a great location to set up some more of these experiments.
Absolutely. Definitely. Well, today I was just going to sound like it's off topic, but it's really not. Earlier today I was working on my laundry, and while I put in, you know, I put it in the dryer, and I was driving around town, I decided to drive to this little community outside of town. It's called Mosheen, and there's an old abandoned school out there that I want to go investigate one day. I don't care if it's with our team, great. If it's with somebody else, that's fine too.
Right.
I'm thinking next Saturday, I got a new dog, Dixie. I'm thinking I may take her out there and bring a recorder and just see what I get.
Yeah.
You know, just to see what's up there.
Yeah. At some point, I'm going to start doing some more training with Molly on sniffing out EMF fields, because I have an EM pump here, and I know the gist of what you got to do, and I'm going to talk to Jaime some more that we talked to on our show about training her to be a paranormal dog.
Absolutely, I firmly believe in the theory that animals can possibly see spirits.
Yeah.
I firmly believe in that. And whatever doubt I had was removed a couple of years ago. My mother, my mom and dad's neighbor passed away. And when she did, my parents inherited her dog, which is a little white miniature schnauzer. And every now and then, I would see Phoebe, that's the dog's name, she'd be laying there in her little bed, and she'd look up, and she's watching something moving from one side of the room to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not some kind of bug or anything like that, because I could have seen that.
Yeah.
So, of course, it might just be that, you know, maybe she has glaucoma or something. I don't know.
Right, exactly.
But I think it's probably possible.
The only other thing that I got to watch the news at 10 o'clock, my brother informed me when I was over eating with the parents that there was a bomb at Albertsons here in Longview, that a guy went inside Albertsons, come back out, and there was a pipe bomb in the back of his truck.
Wow.
Now they're waiting on the Air Force or somebody to come out there and defuse the bomb. So I don't know if this is all true. That's what my brother said he saw posted on the internet. So I will wait till 10 o'clock when we get off the show, and I'll turn on the news and see what's up. But why would you take a bomb to Albertsons?
Of all places.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't like the fish or something.
I don't know. So somebody doesn't like him because it wasn't in the back of his truck when he went in. He come back out, and there's a bomb in the back of his truck.
Yeah, I'm seeing the article on KLTV.com's website. Apparently, they've already defused it, maybe. I'm waiting for the site to – here we go. According to the headline of this article, it's already been detonated. This is bomb squad detonates suspicious device in Albertson's parking lot area, area seemed deemed safe.
Wow.
They brought in the Bossier City bomb squad. Of all places.
Yeah.
What the hell? I don't know. Well, what do you think of the meteorite that hit this week?
That's crazy, dude. That's Mother Nature at work right there.
I I don't remember ever seeing anything like that before. I'm sure something like that has happened. Matter of fact, while watching news stories all day that day, they were talking about a blast that occurred over, I guess it was Pakistan and India, about 10 years ago or so. And all I could think was, you know, if I heard about that at the time, I don't remember hearing about it.
Right.
So, but have you seen the footage from it?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my goodness. What was the guy that produced Armageddon? What was that guy's name?
Jerry Bruckheimer or something like that?
Yes. Yes, it looked just like something out of a Jerry Bruckheimer movie.
I'll have to look it up and see it.
And when I first, you know, found the video of it, I thought it was like a deleted scene from Armageddon.
Huh.
It's that spectacular.
Wow.
You know, I'm just thankful that, you know, nobody was hurt nobody was killed. You know, a few people hurt.
There's like 500 people injured.
Well, you know, comparatively speaking, what it could have been.
Yeah. True.
So. That was something else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's craziness. Craziness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll take this opportunity. I'm going to go ahead and do a little promoting for Becca Schugert, who's putting on the Texas Para Unity Fest next month that Unknown Paranormal will be a part of.
Cool.
Let's play this ad real quick.
Join us at the Texas Paranormal Unity Conference, Saturday, March 23rd from 11 to 6. Waxahachie Convention Center, 2000 Civic Center Lane, Waxahachie, Texas. Admission from $25, booths from $75. Charity auction with A&E Storage Wars, Walt Cade. Gallery reading with psychic medium Dakota Lawrence. Para Encounters Network broadcasting live from the event. Workshops and vendors. Supporting the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. Info and tickets at texasparaunityfest.eventbrite.com.
All right.
Now tell me that doesn't sound like me.
No.
It does sound like me.
Oh.
Somebody,
Lord,
found a way to rip off my voice.
I guess.
I can sue for that, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to say I can, so I'm going to find out who did that, and I'm going to sue them. And I'm going to get a lot of money, assuming that they have a lot of money. Goodness sake. Oh, my allergy just starting to mess with me.
Well, Lee will be joining us shortly, so let's go ahead and get her bio out of the way before she comes on.
Well, alrighty. You'll pull that little page up. Oh, let's see. Oh, let's see. How do you pronounce her first name? Is it Litriana?
Yeah.
Okay.
She goes by Lee.
She goes by Lee? Okay, well, I'll call her Lee then. This week, our guest is Lee Brown. Now, she is the daughter of the late Terry Allen of the Ross Allen Serpentarium and Judy Terry. She filmed her first television commercial for the Romper Room at the age of 4 years old, and she also traveled with her father and a lot of other celebrities, which included the likes of Ric Flair, Elvis Presley, Crystal Gayle, the Bee Gees, and a lot of others. She often investigated paranormal areas with her father and some of these other famous stars. And she's a registered analytical problem-solving trainer, a Reiki master, a medical Qigong attunement 3. She's working towards her parapsychology degree, and she does crystal work and has studied chakra orientation. She's also studied Native American folklore and energy work. Her and her husband are founder and co-founders of the Paranormal Research Organization of the Southeast and also Family Spirit, and are hosts of Family Spirit, which TV show on BTVN, where she is also the co-producer. BTVN is also an advisor to the TV series A Haunting, and the CEO of BTVN is Dr. Kevin De Maria.
Cool.
So yeah, that's her bio.
She's asking me what the name of the Skype is for our page, but I really don't know.
It changes.
Yeah. Sorry.
It changes. It should be able to click on the link at the bottom.
Is it on the bottom or the top of the page? Is it next to the call-in number?
It usually is. Let me check here. I'm going to type it in. There we go. All right, loading up.
I just sent her a message so that she can Skype in, so hopefully she'll be able to.
There, our radio is going here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at the. It says call in to speak with the host, and it gives the call number, and there's also a link to Skype right there. She'll have to click on, if she goes to blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg, she'll have to click on the link that says live. And then it'll...
Did you just sign in as host? Because I just got kicked out of chat.
No, I didn't.
That was weird. I just got kicked out of chat.
No.
I'm back in. So there we go.
Well, all right. Cool.
Hopefully we'll get Lee to Skype in here shortly. That's what we're working on. It's one of those things.
Hmm.
While we're waiting on Lee to Skype in, we have a gentleman that's been on our show last year. His name is Thomas Dusko. I hope I pronounced his last name correctly. And he is into scientific research of paranormal anomalies and explanation of things going on with that. And he'll blow your mind. You'll get your mind thinking really hard. So he'll be on the show next Sunday. He's also going to be on the show Tuesday on Terrifier Radio. So I'm getting a double dose. But
that'd be nice.
All right.
Do. Hey, did you get a text about the meal I made yesterday?
What? You're begging up.
I said, did you get the text I sent about the meal that I cooked yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Bacon wrapped pork sirloin. Folks, you gotta try it. It was delicious. I seriously thought I would never be able to eat another piece of food again. So I had to stop for at least a little bit.
On that note, we're going to play this.
The content of this show doesn't necessarily reflect the ideas and thoughts of Unknown Paranormal or the
That's
Unknown
not
Radio
me.
Network.
That wasn't me. What are we doing playing sound bites of people that's not me?
But that sound bite is of me, so there you go.
Yeah, I know that, but that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
I guess so.
The sooner everybody figures that out, the happier we'll all be. I promise you.
Right. Send her a message.
Oh, okay. And Martin's been posting some photographs that he took yesterday of a couple. He did a photo shoot yesterday, and it, a couple called wanting to do this photo shoot, and it was their idea to do it in the style of zombies. So all last night he was posting those. Crazy what people are into nowadays.
Right? Well, for folks that are listening, we're waiting on Lee, trying to get her hooked up with our Skype so that we can get her to dial in, and then we'll be good to go.
Well, all right. What does this do? Turn on sound. I don't know.
I don't know. I keep hearing this like a water drop every five seconds.
That's my Skype. Maybe I can turn that off. Nope, I can't. It's maybe this will work. What it is, it's there's a wrestling podcast I listen to, and all the that didn't work. Crap. All the people, a bunch of people that listen to it, we do this thing when there's an event, like on Monday nights or occasionally a pay-per-view, where they all log in and, you know, basically it's like you're watching the event with your friends. And there's a pay-per-view tonight, and they're all watching it and typing in little chat comments.
Right. Yeah. Well, we're still waiting on Lee. I'm going to take a 20-second station identification break. Hang on a second.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownPG. You are in.
And we're back.
Now that was myself, a voiceover.
Myself and Jeff, and we're still waiting on our guest. I'm talking to her on Facebook, trying to get the proper, give her the proper instructions on how to Skype in. You know, I mean, if I have to, I guess I could have her Skype to you, but I don't know how that's going to sound.
Don't know. Now, hold on, give me a second, and I might can just send her the link for it. I can send her the link.
Shut up. Kill me.
Who is?
Some of that audio that comes through your end.
Oh, my audio is awesome. Where do I go? Oh, wait. Hold on. There we go. There we go. Now I can paste. And the message was sent.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a Skype button on here where we can Skype out. That's crazy.
No, it doesn't. You'd think it would.
Did you send her a message that's a link to Skype?
Yes. Well, I sent her the message that has a link to the show, and it will have a link to Skype on it. So, anyhow.
maybe there's a way I can Skype out. Let me try this. Nope.
Yeah, she just gave me her Skype name. We have no way to Skype out on our show. Well, nope. People, that's something y'all need to add. A Skype link out here that we can type in somebody's Skype name and call them through Skype.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just so y'all know.
There probably is an obscure way of doing it, and they just have it so hidden. It's not even funny. Well, all right.
Yeah, we're still waiting. Technical difficulties here. It's one of those things. If we have to, I can give you her Skype, and you can Skype her through yours.
Yeah, I suppose I could do that.
It's Lee, L-E-I.
Just text it to me. Text it to me, and it'll be easier.
Okay, hang on. One moment, sir.
While we're waiting.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg. You are in.
Love hearing that dude talk. That dude's amazing. Wouldn't you say so, Kevin?
Yeah, hang on. Radio page that says live in your...
Everybody gets to hear us typing and talking to other people while they're on the show.
Lee is thinking that it's the first page, the page for the Unknown Radio Network, thinking the Skype's on that. And I'm trying to explain to her that you have to go to the actual radio show page for tonight's show, and then when that comes up, that's the link.
Yes, you do. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to play a song.
All right.
This is High School Never Ends by Bowling for Soup.
So emma
right.
Hey, Larry.
We have Lee on the line with us now.
Yay, I made it. I'm a brunette, yeah. But I have a blonde brain. It took me a minute. I'm sorry, guys.
You're not the first. It's not. You won't be the last.
That's why I told him, I said, if there's any Blog Talk officials out there listening, you need to put a Skype button on our studio so that we can call out through Skype.
Right. That's right. That would help.
It would also make sense. So apparently apparently Blog Talk is run by the U.S. government.
Oh, joy.
So.
Oh, joy.
So how things been going, Lee?
Oh, man, we have been so busy. We have been so busy. I mean, crazy busy. I just finished doing A Haunted Life with Dan Guthrie, who's my boss with Haunted Entertainment. And we had Chris Nicoletti on the show. He was voted Best Paranormal Team with Haunted Entertainment Awards last year with the Frontier Paracon. And this year, the Frontier Paracon is not called that this year. We're calling it something totally different. It's called the True Paranormal LA Supernatural Summit. And it's going to be in 2 weeks, which is Friday, March the 8th and March the 9th. That's Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be, in a different location. It was going to be in the Casa del Mexicano. We were trying to do a fundraiser to save that location, but the city decided to go ahead and take possession of it and tear it down, even though it was a beautiful haunted location, and build condos. So we have relocated to a beautiful, I think it's actually going to be a better event. I hate, you know, what's happening with the Casa del Mexicano, but, you know, what can you do?
Right.
We'll be at the Glen Taverns, and the Glen Taverns is a beautiful location. Let me tell you a little bit about it, because a lot of people don't know the history. It was built in 1911 when Santa Paula was a booming oil town. You know, I didn't realize that it was an oil town, and that gives it a 100-year history. And it's got three floors, and the one floor was a gambling parlor. The next floor was a house of ill repute. Ooh la la. And also it was known during the Prohibition as a speakeasy. And Hollywood, during its early heyday, had the big studio, you know, had the bar area, had stars including people like John Wayne and Carol Lombard and Harry Houdini and Steve McQueen and many, many others. But, you know, the gambling section had a lot of people that were cheating and that, and there were a lot of fights and stuff. So there were a lot of people that, you know, there were a lot of fights and people that met their bloody end in the gambling casino. So this area, this tavern is known for being haunted. And it's in a small town, and it's a very gracious tavern. I mean, it's beautiful. It's a very quiet tavern inn, and you can, you know, Google it. It's beautiful. Like I said, it was built in 1911. It has 35 rooms, and it's a national landmark, and it got its landmark status in 1981. And renovations were complete in 2004. So, I mean, it's going to make a beautiful, a neat little place for us to have our parties. All the people that will be receiving their awards were nominated for the awards, and people voted. And so these are, you know, the people that were chosen through a voting process to receive these awards. So we are really excited to have these people speak. And Richard Sennett will be there. Gosh, we've got so many people lined up. It is unbelievable. Karen Watowski, Patrice Cole, Stephanie Rice, Thomas Durant, Kale Kelly, and Joe Cutto. Natalie Poole, Bill Conley, Skylar Evergreen. As Sid Richard said, that he's forgotten more about the paranormal than most know. Sid Schultz, Rosalind Bowen, Jason Hughes, Brian Patrick. A lot of these people are folks that, like I said, that, you know, were voted in, so they'll be receiving their awards during this. Blaine Rowan, Christina George, everybody's sweetheart, Christina George. And we have four sponsors. We have Monster Energy Drinks, Coca-Cola, Budweiser, and Snickers.
Cool.
So we'll be having a wonderful event.
Well, yeah, all essential things for a paranormal investigator.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of keep it going.
That's
so this
right.
is March the 8th and 9th, and I am prepared to tell you about my newest event, and I really hope you guys will consider coming. I really wish you would. This is my baby. It's called the Shanghai Tunnel Terror Con, and this is not of the faint of heart, okay? This is going to be in Portland, Oregon. And this tonight is my premiere night for announcing this. I haven't even got the website up for the events to start selling tickets. It's going to be June the 14th and 15th in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And these tunnels are basically Chinatown in Portland, Oregon. It's basically the background exposes the sin of Portland's past to the old town of Chinatown. Okay? There's
mm-hmm.
illicit, naughty, corrupt, shady activities of Portland's not-so-proud past, where we talk about sinister crime and scandal. There's the history side of it. There were big bosses that were murdered down there, prostitutes, murder, suicide, all of that. There was a big boss that was terrifyingly murdered, that is rumored to pull women's hair and that kind of thing. People have used, not the group that we're using, of course, but another group that has used a Ouija board down there that has doubled the activity down there. So, and they're doing construction. So we're expecting not only the history side to be interesting, but the paranormal activity to be interesting. And we're
right.
using the Shiloh Hotel. And we've got beautiful accommodations there. It was built in the 1910 era. And we have conference rooms. And we have Brian Hanoi coming to speak, as well as Jeff Lieber, who is a co-manager of TAPS, and a lot of local people that are well-known to the paranormal conference circuit. For those areas, there's a lot of paranormal conferences in that area. Cass Gunn and Chad Zimwalt will be participating with that, and I'll be releasing more people that will be speaking. We've got 50 different paranormal groups that are involved with this, so it should be a hoot, to say the very least.
Right.
And so I really hope people will enjoy coming out to these tunnels, because it should be something. And I do want you to know that the hotel has paranormal history. So, we can do a lot of paranormal investigation there. If we have a lot of people that want to do the tunnels, we can take it, you know, split it. Half of them go one night to the tunnels while people investigate the hotel. And then, you know, that'd be part A, going to the tunnels, part B, investigating the hotel, and then switch. Part B, go to the tunnels, and part A, investigate the hotel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're going to have a blast. And there's some other special surprises I'm not able to release yet that's coming up. So I can't wait. There'll be some live entertainment. So we've just got a lot of things going,
No, Jeff, that doesn't mean you when she says live entertainment.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it does. It does mean me.
I hope you guys will come to the event.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to see. I'm like you, Lee. I'm so freaking busy with, I think now we got four different residential cases going on. at the same time.
I have a mess with some residential cases. Things have really picked up.
Yeah. In fact, I got one that fell in my lap this weekend. I'll throw out a little bit about it. So, because I've never heard of this, I wanted to see if you've heard of something like this. This client, she's been kind of drugged through the dirt in the paranormal field as far as she's reached out to some teams, and they've come in and done an investigation, and then she never hears from them again. And so they don't help her at all. And the thing about it is, it's not the location that is haunted, it is her. She had a spinal injury several years ago, and ever since then, it's like she opened up, right? And she's got spirits that are in her body that physically change her from day to day. In her appearances, her weight changes drastically. She could be a size 2 one day, and then the next day she's 40 pounds heavier, and then it goes back to a size 2. She's got a lot of things going on. And
how is her personality changing with this?
She says that it comes and goes, and she hears a lot of different voices, right? They're telling her different things
mercy.
To do. Yeah, so I don't know. I've never heard of something like this, right? And the individual that is in the field, I'm good friends with, she's been talking to this woman for over 2 years, but she can't help her because she's so far away, and she knew us, and she called me the other day and told me about this case and see if we could undertake it, because she knows that we're not going to let somebody leave somebody out in the cold. We're going to try to find them help and get them the help they need. And, you know, she's highly educated. She's was a college professor. But these physical things that are going on, they're telling her that she has now that the last week her teeth started falling out, and she went to the dentist, and they're saying that she has some kind of degenerative disease where she ages faster or whatever. But then she, I don't know, it's just like one day she's physically fine, and the next day she's not, and it's just overwhelming on her. And the individual that's in the field, she said she'd never heard a case like that, but then she said over research she found that there was at least 2 other cases in the United States that are like this. So it's something different for us because, you know, we have talked before, you and I, and, you know, we undertake a lot of the darker side of cases, and this is a little bit different ball game here. So.
Well, you know that darker entities attack people when they are at their most vulnerable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what they do.
I don't know if it is something of darker nature or not. That's one reason I love having my paranormal investigator teammate Mike go in, because he's psychic, and his gift, he can discern pretty quick whether or not it's demonic or not, because he can feel and see them pretty quick. And
Listen, I'm getting something about with the spinal injury that she's got a chakra damaged. Do you have anybody that can help her with that?
And what did you say was damaged?
A chakra.
If she has a
chakra damaged, then she can have an attachment that can do this to her.
I have seen it done.
Damage that an attachment can latch onto and can actually change personality to the point where it almost looks like they're possessed. I've seen it in a case that I did. And it really can create what do you call it? The whenever you go under anesthesia, the funkiness that your body has to go through with that has to be cleansed too, because it leaves a residual. This person needs to do a complete detox, and somebody that knows how to cleanse and repair a chakra needs to be consulted.
Well, that's interesting. That's something definitely we need to do. Yeah, she's talked to shaman, whatnot. It all started with a chiropractor adjusting her back and did something to her back and around her skull area. So, and she's had trouble ever since, and it's physically caused her to not be able to even work. And some people have taken advantage of her talking to people over the phone and wanting money and this, that, and other. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm just like, I'm going to do what I can to help this woman, you know.
Now, let's roll back a minute. Did the dental thing happen before the chiropractor?
No, it happened after. The dental thing just happened last week. They said that her bones are deteriorating in her jaw. You know, and this is a woman that she was a physical education teacher. Yeah, walked 5-10 miles a day. It was very active.
Right.
So
she's having a hormonal imbalance too, from the chakra problem. She's got a vitamin D deficiency. She has had something go wrong with something.
Mm-hmm.
I usually don't do this on the radio, but she's had something go wrong with. Oh my goodness. She's not maintaining her vitamin D because of an infection or maybe even bacterial. She's going to need to do a complete detox.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want her to lose her teeth because that can lead to pyrrhea and stuff. She's under complete and total physical attack.
Yeah.
She's going to need to burn frankincense and myrrh. Sage type incense in her room constantly.
Uh-huh.
She's going to need to have music playing that is positive constantly in her room, even if it's in an iPod form, you know, just listening just, you know, for her benefit. And she's going to need to put frankincense essential oils on the bottom of her feet and wear socks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
To pull these toxins out of her body and get some sort of detox cleanse and drink it twice a day.
Cool.
I could just about tell you where she needs to get it from. I mean, I'm not trying to insert myself here, but
no.
I've experienced this.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, and I have it. So to hear somebody that knows more about what we're dealing with than I do, that's what it's all about.
I can help her with her chakra. I can help her with her chakra, but where are you guys?
We're in Texas.
Okay. I need to get to Texas.
Yeah, we're in, I'm in East Texas in the Longview area. My co-host Jeff is from this area, but he lives in Gatesville, which is outside of Waco. And this case is actually in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Has she had any trauma? Did a trauma set this off?
I don't know. I briefly talked to her before the show. I couldn't get into too much with her because of the fact I had to go on the air.
Yeah, don't. Just keep it vague.
No, I don't know. I really don't know as far as very traumatic things that went on in her life. I haven't gotten that far in the discussion yet with her.
Well, if she needs to talk to a lady, let me know.
Okay.
And
I can
do distance things to where I can do some repair for her.
Okay.
Okay.
That's definitely something that, you know, all the help that I can get from people in the field, it's all about helping helping somebody, and that's what it's about.
Well, God isn't limited. We are. We put limits on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
God isn't limited. And, you know, it says in Matthew that ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and the door shall be opened. And I'm just going to stand right now, you know, I'm no perfect individual, but I'm just going to say that if this woman needs this, that we will be able to give it to her. You know, we'll just, I believe in paranormal unity, and if this is what she needs, that that we'll have what we need, and it'll be presented at the right time, at the right and proper time, and that we'll have the wisdom to give her what she needs, and that she won't fall into ill health. Because, you know, self-fulfilling prophecy, if she feels like she's helpless, then she will fall and continue to fall. And, and we can't sit by and let that happen. I've seen it too many times. We had a situation where there was a little couple that called us, actually contacted us through our website, and, you know, it was just awful. They had the power turned off on their apartment. She gave me the keys to her place, told me she didn't want anything in it. I could have the whole, you know, the whole blasted thing. She didn't want anything in the apartment. I could have it all. She wasn't going back. End of story. And we went in there, and books are flying across the room. I tried to pray over her, and I put my flashlight on the mantle just so I could put my hands on her. And the flashlight turned on in my face, rolled down the mantle, and came back across. You know, it was just horrible. It was this, whatever this thing was just extremely animated. Just had to be really just, you know, very illustrated about its, you know, behavior. And, you know, it just really needed an attitude adjustment. And it sounds like this one needs it as well. And it can certainly be done. So it just takes everybody bonding together. And that's what it takes. And that's what scares me so about people, you know, bullying each other, because people don't realize the power of what they say.
Yeah, it's,
people don't, it, you know,
it, it's horrible, the stuff that goes on, the hurtful things that, you know, the paranormal field, and it's not just paranormal field limited to it. I mean, it's people in general. It's the human, it's a human fault that people don't realize when they say
now
things.
That is the statement of the day. Say it again. It's a human
fault.
That's going to be my Facebook statement when we get off of this thing. It's a human fault. That's it.
Yeah.
It's a human fault, because it's easier to fall down the steps than it is to walk up. And who's going to be the one to step up and create unity and love? You know, that's what I believed. This whole, what is it, the Mayan thing was supposed to be about. That's what I keep saying about my sacred voices. I have a website about sacred voices and about my readings and about my paranormal investigations. You know, I keep trying to say we've got to get back to the basics of loving each other, helping each other, leaning on each other, because we're all supposed to be in the same field, helping each other, educating each other for the people that need us. I was never so shocked as to see how people were willing to throw each other under the bus. And I'm so glad to have met you two. It is quite an honor to be on your show. I want to thank you so very much.
Well, thanks.
And I hope that you'll consider coming to some of our events if you have the time. We've got so many planned this year, and I'm sure we'll have something in your neck of the woods to where you can shimmy on over. Maybe you can have a fundraiser and bring your team. I'd love to have you speak. Even if it's just about, you know, paranormal unity or something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
I've heard so many good things about you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm doing a lecture next month at the Texas Para Unity Fest. I'm doing a class on thinking outside the box in the paranormal when it comes to investigating, because our team as a whole, we decided to go a little bit different direction this year because the fact, and this kind of ties in with you as well, Mike, his background, his grandmother was full-blooded Choctaw Indian. And,
Choctaw, I hear you. My husband is actually Croatan. He's Lumbee Indian. And I'm Cherokee Eastern and Western Band. And my mother's Filipino. I'm just a pure American mutt. So anyway, I need to interrupt you. Please keep going.
Oh, but he, you know, he, so he has that, and she had psychic ability as well. And my great grandmother was full blooded Cherokee Indian. So we had a lot of the Native American influence in our group, and we decided this year, you know, yeah, we have all the latest and greatest pieces of equipment, but we want to incorporate the scientific equipment and test the God-given elements of the earth that were put on the earth long before man was here. And a lot of the things that the Native Americans used, because they were very spiritual people and still are. And so, like the last investigation we did last weekend, we tested fire in an experiment. You know, we lit a candle and tried to get whatever entities are there to, instead of manipulating the equipment, to try to manipulate the flame.
Bend the
And then we tested quartz, because quartz can hold energy. And we did an experiment where we did an investigation for 15 minutes with just the equipment, and then we brought the quartz in and made like a circle around the equipment and see if it would bring in something to manipulate the equipment. And then we also had some quartz that we set on top of an EM pump and actually charged the quartz. And then brought them in there. So we're still reviewing all this stuff, but those are different things that we're trying to do, you know, to kind of go backwards and per se and look at what God put on the earth and why are these things happening, and use what God gave us on the earth first, right? And use all the equipment to monitor the environment.
That is exactly right. And I believe that the reason why they were put on Earth is because they were given certain energy. And the energy that is given, we have to give respect for it and know how to use it. I have been doing a study on the difference between using K2 meters and compasses.
Mm-hmm.
What is more, effective? You know, if you have a compass that's starting to bend and twist compared to a K2 meter that's, you know, flippy floppy, you know, what is more effective? I particularly like compasses, but it doesn't give a spirit something so beautiful to look at, because they love those lights, you know. They're just as bad as, you know, it's like, give me a light show, and boy, they'll make those lights fly, you know. But the older spirits don't like them. If you go into the Cherokee caves, they do not like those things. Oh, no. So, yeah, I tried that. That didn't go so well for me this past summer. That did not work at all. Yeah, he was wondering what my problem was. But
you know,
I kind of worked with some elementals this summer. Can you imagine taking a K2 meter in with some elementals? That was, that did not work at all. But
yeah,
that's interesting.
We had a case where we were investigating this. It's a bunch of land. It's actually an ATV four-wheeler park, but we went out there. It was built on Indian ground, right? And Mike goes out there, and we go to the top of the hill, and coming out of the trees, of course, he saw it. We didn't. I felt it. But it was an Indian chief. And he started talking to Mike psychically. And all he wanted us to give him, he wanted us to bring him some sweetgrass and to burn some for him, because there was none out there. So we went and got some sweetgrass and came back up there and burned it for the Indian chief.
That's very nice. I actually accidentally stumbled upon a Indian burial ground that was part of what was called a children's tuberculosis cemetery. And somebody had decimated a Native American grave. And those of you that are listening, please feel free to add me on Facebook. My name is Lee Treanna. That's L-E-I-T-R-E-A-N-N-A. Last name is Brown. And you can look on my photos and you will see that I got down in the Native American burial ground into the grave. Now, let me explain. I wasn't getting in the grave because I thought that would make an awesome shot. Mm-hmm. I got down in the grave because I knew that she must have felt violated.
Mm-hmm.
This is the body. I didn't see any remains, first of all, and there were headstones that were busted down in her grave. So I didn't see anything, and I could stand on the headstones, and there were no removing the headstones because they were made of sandstone. And the more I tried to touch them, the more they disintegrated, so there was no moving them. And mm-hmm. it just broke my heart that, you know, this thing had happened to her. And, you know, I wanted her to see that I was not afraid to get down there to her. I was not willing, I mean, I wasn't afraid to humble myself
mm-hmm.
and get down in there with her. I wanted to hold her. I wanted her to see that I was willing to humble myself, get down in. I wasn't afraid, you know. I mean, I wasn't going to stand there and look down on her. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to get down in there with her and stoop down and talk to her and tell her, please don't judge my kind based off of this idiot that did this, or idiots that did this to her, and to please excuse my people. Because I know that she had taken the vow. I could feel her there. And I said, please, you know, don't judge my people based off of this. You know, please. I know this was the body that you loved your husband with, that you bore your children with, that, you know, you lived such a long time with. You know, this is your fondest memory of living on earth. I know that you took the vow to stay for generations to look over your family. And, you know, you come back here as, you know, reminiscent of living here on earth. I know you're here and you see me down in your grave, and this is really making you angry. But I'm asking you, please forgive me and forgive our kind for doing this to you. I have no idea who these fools were. And if I had any idea how to make this right, I would. And the only thing I can do is talk to you, and I can pray to God to make this holy again. And I kept trying to pull dirt over into the grave and just try to make it right. And then the ovulist said, you, and then tribe. And we looked around, and my team was able to get six full-bloody apparitions that came out of the forest.
Wow.
Cool.
That were within 20 to 50 yards. And it started raining. So here we are in the rain, in the woods. I'm down in a grave, and you can see this face over the top of my face. So feel free to look on Facebook on that picture. And then it just sort of, the rain kind of stopped, and I got out of the grave, and she was happy with me. And then for 2 weeks after that, I had lots and lots and lots of activity. I know they followed me. And that's what they do, you know, they follow their families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I welcomed her. I welcomed her. And I was so honored that she considered me family. I don't know if she follows me now. Maybe she doesn't. Yeah. But the idea was that I had to do something because these crazy fools did this to her. And, you know, mm-hmm. whatever repercussions there were, I was just trying to make it right. People just don't realize what they do and the ripple effect that it causes. It just killed me.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any idea how bad it killed me? Her name was Minnie. You know, that's somebody's mom, somebody's grandmother.
Yeah,
please,
that's...
if you go into a cemetery or you go into some place to investigate, please have some respect and don't act a fool. Please.
Right.
You know, that might be my family. You know, that could be, you know, they're there. They might can see you. You know, please have some respect. Oh,
yeah,
God,
that's,
it just kills me to think about it.
We've come across some cemeteries that people have neglected or whatnot, and it sickens me. You know, we, even when we're walking around a cemetery, if there's a soldier there, we pay respect to them, and you know.
Very nice.
Yeah, I know when we went down to Yorktown, remember, Jeff, you and I and Mike were walking around that cemetery, and there was a lot of U.S. soldiers buried there.
Absolutely, yep.
So,
we've even seen headstones that have been driven over, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, and the only reason we know this is because we see the tire tracks.
Tire tracks, yeah.
Really? Driving over tombstones and graves?
So sad.
Yeah.
We went to one cemetery, and the father showed up, and he explained that his whole family was buried in that cemetery. They were taken out by an illness, and he wanted me to contact the Historic Society because a real estate agency had bought the property, and he was afraid that the cemetery would be, you know, ruined. And
right.
When we were driving off, we saw this huge ball of light shoot across the front of our car. And it was just a beautiful moment. A father just trying to, you know, preserve the history of his family.
That's some of the, you know, that it's, man, it's, we respect the living, and we respect the departed as well, because there's a respect all around. These were people walking this earth, and they're not here physically, but their spirits are still around, and you just got to have that respect factor. Now, the only time the respect factor goes out the door is when it's a malevolent or demonic type.
Thank you.
That case where I don't have any respect for them because it's pure evil, and they're there to hurt somebody and put them through hell. And that's when I put my foot down and we go at it, you know, because that's not the way that works. We bring God in and we get them out, right? And
I just got off the phone with Brian Hanoi, and he was telling me about when he was on a case with Carl Johnson and Sandra. And it was an 84-year-old woman that he was investigating, and she was completely possessed. And the things they went through, and oh, my gosh, what a terrifying case. Can you imagine being 84? I mean, I don't know that she could physically go through an exorcism. You know, exorcism.
No.
You know, it's so sad.
I mean, I saw on a case that we were on for over a year, I saw at one point when we had brought one of our friends in to help cleanse the place, another demonologist, and the entity decided it was a last-ditch effort to try to stop all about what we were about to do. Molly, be quiet. And yep. She barks at every little noise. She's very protective of this house.
She saw something.
Oh, yeah? I'm sure.
German Shepherds see a lot. German Shepherds have a second sense.
Yeah, I'm about to start training her
to
go on investigations with us.
I can't believe I knew she was a German Shepherd.
Do what?
I can't believe I knew she was a German Shepherd. I just knew,
yeah.
I guess.
But, we actually saw the stepdad go from zero in anger to about 1,000, and he turned on, or not the stepdad, the real dad of this teenage boy, turned on the stepdad and was going to whip his ass right in front of us. And we actually had to grab a hold of him and pull him apart, throw him to the ground. And while that was going on, the boy that this thing was attached to, he balled up on the ground and was screaming. And I actually physically watched scratches appear all over his back. And
yeah,
that was a very scary case. in itself. And
being a child.
Huh?
I can imagine with that being a child. I know that that had to be terrifying to you.
Mm-hmm.
We walked into a sandwich shop to meet someone that I called and said he was possessed, and so we decided to meet him in public, you know. And when we walked up, you know, slice marks just came all over his forehead and his legs and everything. And, it was just terrifying. And he was so embarrassed. You know, he's like, see, it's like this all the time.
Now, do you think that because of the popularity of paranormal shows on television and more awareness is brought to the general public, do you think that more people are dabbling in the crap they shouldn't be dabbling in, and that's why we're getting more of these type cases? Or is it more of on a biblical sense that these entities are doing more attacks now than ever before?
I believe it's on a biblical sense. There is a church here in my area that is worshiping Satan that has over 2,500 members.
Jeez.
And that has nothing to do with any kind of show. And I'm constantly having to go behind and help people that are realizing that what they're doing isn't funny, and they're trying to get out of it.
Yeah. And I believe that too. I think the severity of
the last days, you know, the veil will be lifted.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say. That I think that that's what's happening, and that's why we're getting more and more of these cases falling in our laps. You know, and I've even heard that the Vatican has been trying to increase the number of exorcists that are in, you know, different areas.
That is true. I know that to be true.
Yeah. That's crazy. You know, it's crazy, but in the same sense, I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Let's do it. You know, I'll help as many as I can. But, I don't know. You know, this is the first of the year, and I've already got four cases going at the same time. You know, it's just like bam, 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 all at once.
Wow. And it's nothing to play with.
Nope.
Well.
No.
Well, you know, demonology is not really so much that I study, because I don't like to glorify demons. I don't like to study them, because you don't have to study them to rid yourselves of them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know anything about them. You don't have to know their name to conquer them. You know.
Exactly.
I study more along the lines of exorcist, you know, walk. I'm in the process of studying under Archbishop David Berry, and well, he is tough. He is one tough individual. And he really walks the walk and talks the talk. Mm-hmm. And so I'm more of a caseworker for him. And he's made me a Mother Superior for his church. And my chastity is my monogamous marriage. I have taken the vow that if anything happened to my marriage, that I would never remarry. So that's part of what I'm doing. Not easy. You know, there's a lot of studying. He's just an amazing leader. And so, you know, he's teaching me a lot. Some things that, you know, I don't agree with him. But, you know, he is the leader.
Right.
So, you know, and he has done a lot of cases. I'm listening carefully and learning. So I look at the list of demon names and evil names and things like that, and he never really studies that.
Yeah.
He looks more at spiritual warfare. and how to heal, generational curses, or how to call for spiritual warfare help from Saint Michael and archangels and of course Jesus Christ, and pray through the Virgin Mary, things like that. And that does help a lot, because if you over-glorify the demons by studying demonology, then it can create more fear than, focusing on the positive. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Rule number one of spiritual warfare is that demons lie. They're not going to tell you their real name anyway. They lie better than humans tell the truth, and their lives are so perfect and so founded in logic and common sense that the only thing that makes them less than true is a moment's hesitation that the human spirit does when you feel the energy of them. So you have to learn quick to ignore that. If you hear anything from them, you just have to ignore it. And otherwise you want to cooperate with them.
I've told clients numerous times, right, when they got that fear factor going when they first call you and they're in that panic state, and I have to calm them down and tell them the first thing that we've got to stop is the fear, because you're feeding them. Mm-hmm. You are just feeding this thing everything it needs to mess with you.
Right.
Yep.
It's starting to get the death grip on you.
Yeah, and so... I tell them all the time, I say, look, whatever your religion is, this is what we know. These things have been around long before man. They're
right.
Thousands, or you can't even really put a date on them, right? So they know more than you ever will know, and they know how you tick.
Right.
They know every word of the Bible. They know.
Yeah, they were there when it was created.
Yeah. So,
they're
yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, and a lot of these times, and what people don't understand with these type of cases, and if there's any teams out there that get something like this, someone calls that, and you find out that it's pretty intense what's going on there. If you don't have a lot of knowledge or anything or handle these type of cases, please reach out to other groups that have and get some extra help, because
absolutely.
you gotta tread lightly on what you do, your actions, because anything that you do wrong, you can trigger it to go bad,
right,
to worse. And a lot of the times you've got to be counselors. It's not a one-time trip to these people's homes or a one-time
That's
phone
right.
conversation. You've got to counsel these people, and you've got to repair all that damage that has been done on the inside, their faith, everything. And you've got to rebuild all that to strengthen them in order to rid them of this
right.
entity.
And I'm going to say this one sentence, and I'm going to mean it with every ounce of my being. A person who willingly cooperates with demons will lose all sense of reality. And they will define their safety by what the demon teaches them. And by doing so, they lose all of their safety, and they'll develop a codependent relationship. And that's when they start the oppression, which is the beginning of possession, and that requires either a deliverance or an exorcism. That's
yep.
the beginning. You cannot
mm-hmm.
cooperate with them. You have to know where you stand and do not listen.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is that angels do not lie, nor twist the truth in a way that the outcome is a loss for the victim. Okay? So basically
mm-hmm.
you just need to stick with what you know and read in the Bible. And you have to pray for God's will in your life. You have to do that. The simple truth is that you cannot allow yourself at a time when you are in a state of grief or in a state of panic or illness to the point where, psychologists say that at least four times in your lifetime you can be considered mentally ill. or in simple paranoid to the point of catatonia. And that's when your soul is locked in a state of true, I guess, danger, you should say. And that's when you need to have people around you that's praying for you. And that's when you're most vulnerable. So that's what concerns me most. So, and it sounds like that's what's happened with your case here. This woman needed help, and she was at a weak point, and now here we go. So please reach out to me if you need me.
Yes, I definitely will, because like I said, you have some knowledge in this that I don't, and I'm not going to be trying to tell this woman this, that, and another without having someone else that has knowledge of that part of it. So, yeah, I'll definitely be reaching out to you because I want to make sure this woman is taken care of, and we help her, especially when it's physical. And it's affecting her.
One thing that she can do tonight is get in a bathtub full of Epsom salt and completely submerge her body.
Okay.
When she feels like she's overwhelmed, that salt water bath, that's something that John Zaff has told me.
I'll call her after the show.
Yeah, it can break an attachment.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, another thing that that I've come across, and especially with clients and anybody that is in the field, or maybe you're just interested in paranormal and you're listening to the show, one thing you got to not try doing, which one of the cases that we're currently working on, we've about wrapped it up. We just got to go back in and cleanse the home, sage it down, and seal it up. Is don't call if you got things going on in your house. Don't assume the worst. Don't start calling it, oh, it's demonic, I got a demon in my house, because the fact of, just like you said earlier, if you glorify it, if you give them credit, there may not be a demonic force in your home, but you start saying that it is, you will have one in your home eventually.
Yeah, don't call them there.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't call them there. Golly.
That's exactly what this one woman that called me last month. You know, crazy stuff was going on in her home, you know, and she was scared, and she says, I think I have a demon in my house. And I said, whoa, stop right there. Do not say that. We don't know what's in your home. Do not give credit to where you think it's one of them, because you may not have one now, but you keep talking about it, you will have one. You know, you talk, you call it, and you will receive it. So, and it turns out it's a spirit, you know, and it goes around the neighborhood. There's about five other homes it ducks and dodges in, and, of course, it doesn't like Mike, and every time we go in the home and try to communicate, we wouldn't get anything because it would bolt out. But we got them where we got the fear pretty much conquered, and got them reading scriptures and certain scriptures in the Bible that they can read when they feel that they're getting overwhelmed or that fear is starting to creep in, to, you know, basically empower them and we pretty much empowered them to say, look, you control your home. You know, most spirits live by the rule that if you don't want them there and you take control of your home and you don't do it in an angry way but a stern way, they'll leave.
Right.
I said, but you got these ornery spirits and you got these inhuman spirits that it's a little bit different ballgame. You can tell them to leave all you want. They're not going. So.
Well, I'm available for those too. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I'll do what I can. You know, because, you know, they're usually trying to say something. They have taken a vow to stay near their family for a certain period of time. So they usually have a message.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So evil cannot coexist with good. So if you feel like you've got something evil going on in your house, the best way to drive it out is through worship. So blast it out with some, you know, beautiful Christian music, and anoint your house with oil, and do beautiful things, and have beautiful, have some crosses up, and and have some praise going out through the house. You know, put on some good Christian shows on your TV. And when things happen, just ignore it. Don't give it any power whatsoever. You know, there's your scripture right there. That's Romans 12:21. Here's you another one. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it and know more abundantly. That's John 10:10. So that tells you that he has already conquered this. So that means that you just have to stand on it. That means you have to claim it, and that means you have to take action. You can't sit back and say, oh, I've got a problem. That's the same thing as saying, okay, I'm sick. Okay, well, what do you do when you're sick? You take medicine. You have to take action. So that means you have to claim it. You have to take a stance. You know, when Moses had to part the sea, not only did he have to raise his hands, which meant take action, but he had to have his friends there to hold his arms up as well. That meant that he had to have a strong faith of people and strong base of people to support him when he didn't have the strength too. So that's what you've got to look for. You've got to look for people that can have the faith with you. And that's what I'm saying to you. If you feel like you've got negative things going on there, make sure that you've got a strong base of people around you that can come in and just help you just get rid of it. Either it's going to behave itself or it's going to have to go.
Yeah.
He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Matthew 12:30.
Yeah. And see, that's another good point that it spurred in my mind when we were talking about parunity earlier. You know, whatever your religious beliefs are, and I'm talking the paranormal community, a lot of times I think you guys, everybody out there needs to take a step back and think about it, right? What we're doing is we're dealing with the spiritual. We're dealing with life after death. But we're also dealing with good and evil. And how much do you think your actions are out there that you're trying to throw people under the bus and try to throw wrenches in a lot of the work in the paranormal field? How much do you not think that maybe some of these evil type forces are having a little hand in that? And
I totally agree. How many people are being manipulated by the things that they're experiencing?
Yeah, because if you think about it as a whole, as a community, if we didn't have all that craziness going on with teams fighting and people trying to become popular, get their own show, or whatever it may be, if they would all take a step back and really think about why they are doing these malicious things to one another, if we were all... You know, if we didn't have any of that, just think how much further along we would be and how much more we can understand what is going on with these clients and this all this evil, malicious type spirits and, you know, all that stuff that's going on. People are just getting manipulated and, you know, it's setting the field back in a hole. You know, you got, and I'm not saying that we're all getting set back, because some of us, including myself, we have to have that defense, that wall put up in the field where we pick and choose who we let in order to keep moving forward and try to stay out of the drama that's out there. So, yeah, if you're one of those that has that evil thought to throw somebody under the bus or talk smack about somebody on the internet or throw all their dirty laundry out there, think about why you're doing it and if it's actually coming from you or you being manipulated into doing it.
That's a very good point. Very good point. And, you know, if you're participating, if somebody has done that to you and then you're flipping and doing it back to them, you know, it's how can anybody tell who started it?
Yeah.
Drags you down to their level, makes you look just as bad. As a matter of fact, I actually think it might even make you look even worse.
That's right.
Because if you're doing to others what others have done to you, how is anybody going to tell? You know, you're just creating a wheel upon a wheel.
Mm-hmm.
You're no better than the other.
Yeah, and
It's easy to get mad and want to get even, though. That's humankind, but you know, you gotta try to rise above. You gotta be the cream of the crop.
That's part of that human fault. That's part of that. That whole reason that God sent Jesus to the earth to die for our sins, because he found out that humans weren't perfect and that we had flaws. And, you know, and that's part of the human nature. Yes, we have flaws. We've all got skeletons in our closets. We've all done things that we regret doing. But the bottom line is, if you're truly got some kind of religion, whatever it might be, you learn from those mistakes and you become even stronger, and you know, you move forward in your life. And that's the difference between some people and then others that continue to delve into their personal faults and hold it against themselves instead of forgiving themselves or forgiving others that do things to them and moving forward their life. That negative energy that you put out, that's what these things latch onto.
Well, I know for sure that we are spiritual beings. Even if we are incarnate, we are spiritual beings. And we still have things that we have to account ourselves to. And, you know, lots of times we say, oh, you know, we are not, we shouldn't have to account ourselves to that because, you know, spirit said this to us, and we think that spirits can tell us what's going to happen in the future. You know, people get caught up in all that, and I'm like, don't ask them that. You know, they're just a spirit. Don't ask them that. You know, you're not supposed to be asking them that. You can't tell what they are. What they have to say is not important. Just record the fact that you've gotten the answer. You're not supposed to be convening with spirits like that.
Yeah,
don't ask them what the future is. You know, just communicate with them and try to heal their past and help them cross over, you know, if that's what they're supposed to be doing, or helping the person deal with the fact that there's a spirit here.
People get off track so easy.
Good God.
That's another good point, Lee, is if you come across a spirit, now I'm not talking about anything evil, I'm just talking about a spirit in general, right, that reaches out to you, and they need help. There are spirits, and we have come across them numerous times. In fact, last weekend we had a spirit that kept reaching out for Mike and calling his name out and saying that she needed help. And sometimes these entities, they get stuck, or you know, and they need some kind of healing or some kind of reassurance, whatever it may be, to help them cross over to where they need to go. So it's not always about helping the client. There's sometimes where we got to help the spirit. I know that Mike, Jeff, were you? I don't remember if you were with us when we were in Jefferson for that conference that one year, and that little boy spirit came out and started talking to Mike. He had been dead.
Yeah, I was there for that. Yeah, he
had been dead for over 100 years, and he kept telling Mike that he's waiting on his mom. And Mike tried to explain to the boy, look, your mom is in the light. That's where she's at. And he for a while was kind of, oh, I don't believe you, that kind of thing, you know. And Mike told him, he said, look, just trust me. Go to the light and peek your head in. So, and then a little bit later, Mike, it's all quiet. Mike starts laughing, and I said, what? And he said, I know it's kind of touching, but at the same time it's funny. And I said, what's that? He said he sees the boy walk up to the light. He sticks his head in. Of course, his head disappears. So all Mike sees is his shoulders and the rest of his body. Sticks his head in the light, then pulls back out, smiles at Mike, and goes, hey, you're right. My mom is over here. See you later. And goes into the light.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, and the boy's no longer at that location.
my situation was that I had a little boy whose mother murdered him, and he was afraid she was there, and he didn't want to be there.
Hmm.
He was only like 2 years old, not even, and she murdered him. And he didn't understand what to do. And I had to explain to him, you know, well, if she's there or not, God's got this, you know, taken care of. So, you know, you need to trust God. And, you know, I had to kind of walk him through. It made me so sad. Oh, my gosh. Because I wanted to just keep him with me. It was so hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy woman.
Yeah, and so we deal with that a lot, and I don't know what it is about Mike and his gift, but he gets visited by the archangels a lot. And
oh, Mike, wow.
Yeah, and I won't go into too much detail, but his spirit guide would never reveal his name to him all these years since he was 8 years old. Now he's 33. And about a month ago, his spirit guide decided to reveal himself, and it's one of the archangels.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not Michael, but it's one of the seven archangels. And we were wondering why this particular archangel would always appear to Mike and talk to him, and he'd always speak in code. You know, and we'd have to sit there and try to figure out what he was trying to say, because that's the thing with them. They speak in code a lot. They don't really just come out and say what needs to be done. They make you think, right? Make you think out the solution. And
right.
And
right.
he told me that, and I said, man, that makes all the sense in the world. And that makes a lot of sense in the fact that when we step in a building that has some kind of evil entity in it, that they either A, go right at him, or B, they try to avoid him as much as possible. So it makes a lot of sense.
It is true.
But
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, with you, doesn't your it's been a while since we talked. Doesn't your whole family, several of your family members, don't they also in the paranormal field and help you out?
Oh yes, my great grandmother started it. My grandmother, my mother, my husband, my kids. Yeah, the name of our group is Family Spirit, and then I also have a group that's not just family. It's called Paranormal Pros. So you can go to my website at paranormalpros.com. That's P-R-O-S, Paranormal Pros.
Ah, yeah, that's very interesting that your family's involved in it as well.
Well,
and
my
kids, they
can see things, so, you know.
I'm just curious.
I have to help them deal with it.
I'm curious if you ever did any investigations with Ric Flair.
How did you know about that?
It's on your bio.
Oh, well, no, not so much. Crystal Gale and, you know, a couple other people that were former wrestlers that my dad was friends with back in the day.
Right.
But not so much Rick. He didn't like that kind of thing. I did have my first cup of coffee with him. I was like six, and we were stuck in the green room together. I think he did go out with my dad.
I believe
Elvis Presley actually did go with my dad, and
I can see that. I'm a big wrestling fan, and so when I read that you had met Ric Flair and all that, I was trying
Elvis
to picture him going on an investigation, going, "Is anybody here? Woo!"
Andre the Giant took me the first time on an elevator. Now, you know, I'm from a small southern town, and so, you know, we had to go into the big town to, you know, to record in the studio, and he put me on his shoulders. I had to kind of lean over to get in the elevator with him. So he would bend his knees so that when we'd go down in the elevator, you know, he'd bend his knees so I could, you know, my belly would wiggle. You know, when you go down the elevator and you bend your knees, it makes your belly wiggle. He would do that. I felt like I was like on a roller coaster. Oh my gosh, I felt like I was so tiny, you know, compared to him and his deep voice. He could go to sleep in a heartbeat. Yeah, I was just a little kid, you know. And my dad wrestled alligators to Tarzan movies, and so he would make special appearances. And the way that he would power down and relax would do paranormal investigations. And we'd always go walk in cemeteries. And I didn't really think about that's what we were doing. And he would tell me, Lee, you know, don't worry about the dead. It's the living you have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, and we would walk through and we'd, you know, and I remember this, let me see if I can get this right. We saw this one, we were in Asheville, North Carolina. I had just met Elvis with him. He made me wait in the room until he saw him, and then, you know, I got to see him and everything. But
nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. He was really sweet to me. I didn't get to see him for very long. But you know, I did get to see a bit, but I met the Bee Gees, Andy Gibb. Of course, this was the 70s. I was just a little girl. So, I mean, you know, my bedtime was real early. But let's see, Crystal Gayle went with us a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually, we met her in the cemetery. It was way up on a hilltop next to where we were staying. And we all saw this one cemetery stone at the same time. It said, "Where I am now, so you must be, so prepare for death and follow me."
Hmm.
And somebody had gone under it with a crayon. I wonder if it was my dad, I swear. but I didn't see him do it, so I can't say it was him. But it said, "To follow you, sir, I am not content until I know which way you went."
That's funny.
Yeah, I thought, I swear it really did happen. I swear. But anyway, we used to have a really good time with it. My great-grandmother had a lot of things happen to her. You know, she would be the one that they would call. If there was a man that a lot of people saw in a dark suit and a hat that was walking down the street. And when people saw him, nobody knew who he was. And whenever they'd see him, you know, a lot of people would die. And, you know, they would call her, you know, and she would try to investigate. She would take her Bible wherever she went, and her notes were in her Bible. My grandmother was also part of that. There was a man, my grandmother was staying in this one house, and this little girl came by, and she was hungry. You know, everybody fed everybody back in the day. Kid was hungry, you know, neighbor fed him, you know. And the little girl saw a man in the hallway, and he had lived in the house before and had passed away in the house. And my grandmother tried to talk to him, you know, things like that. I mean, they're always the ones to call. My mother, even as a child, was the one that they would call for prayer. And my son, you know, people call from all over the world for him to pray for people. It's an odd thing, but, you know, that's just the way it's always been for my family. So, you know, that's just part of us. I'm not wrestling alligators.
So, right.
I haven't carried this on. You know, I do have snakes. But,
No, I don't do snakes.
Nope.
My poor husband, he let me have a king snake. The good thing about king snakes, they have a musk that they keep away poisonous snakes. So I put the shavings from her cage around in my gardens and stuff, because we do have a creek near our property, and we've seen several copperheads. And the copperhead will be able to sense the musk of the king snake, and it's better than putting out pesticides.
Cool.
So, yeah, so it's better than a pesticide. So, and Adam is so funny. That's my snake's name. I want a tarantula, but Matt won't let me have one.
Can't say I blame him.
Tarantulas are okay. Tarantulas are okay. Snake, I don't do them.
My husband's an army guy, you know. He races motorcycles and, you know, deals with, you know, Apache helicopters and, you know, deal with ghosts and all kinds of stuff. And he's worried about a spider.
I don't like him either.
He was in Iraq, and he did have to deal with those doggone, you know, camel spiders and all that. So I'll take up for him there.
I do not like spiders, and I like snakes even less.
So my snake,
yeah.
Adam, he'll drink out of, I'll hold him and he'll drink out of the water faucet like a water fountain. He is so spoiled.
I was loading up laundry in my car the other day. Well, I say yesterday, this was a couple of months ago. Put the clothes into the car, was coming back into my apartment to get all the detergent and everything, and there was a snake crawling on my porch. I don't even know what kind it was. It was probably just a little garden snake or something.
Oh, no.
I went and found maintenance. I said, kill it. Get it away.
No, that will not do for me.
I got a good friend of mine that used to handle snakes, and he used to tell him, all you got to do is just take a look at their heads. Like, to quote that lady, ain't nobody got time for that. You know, if I'm walking along and I come across a snake, I'm not going to take the time to check its head to see if it's poison or something. I see snake. And I know I'm large and do not move very quickly. I'm going to move real fast if one of those things comes along.
I had a lady tell me one time she was going to sprout her wings and fly on to heaven if she saw a snake. We used to have to help the police all the time get snakes out of cars. And oh, my gosh, the life I've lived. At first I was doing snake, you know, calls. Now I'm doing ghost calls. You know, it never changes. It's just something different. So funny.
Well, I'm fascinated by the guys in India. They're those snake charmers that, I mean, they're not just doing that with any old snake. It's a, you know, king cobras.
Yeah.
And they're handling these snakes. Like, there's not enough money in the world to get me to do that.
Yeah, they're kind of, they're pushing it. They really are. But they worship them, you know, and
mm-hmm.
You have to think about the kind of tunes that they're playing, the music that they're playing, the flutes that they're playing, are the energy tones that are coming out of those flutes are actually the same tones that are Reiki tones, their energy, and a snake has got, they're nothing but a vertebrae,
mm-hmm.
So they have got more chakras than a human, so they're actually much more easily charmed, so to speak, than a human chakra, and they're very easy to kind of mesmerize,
mm-hmm.
So it's just sort of a sleight of hand.
Well, we're getting down to the last 9 minutes of the show, so I want to give you the opportunity to promote your upcoming events once again for the folks that may have missed it the first time.
Well, I appreciate that. I just want to remind everyone that we are having the hold on, I'm going to pop it back up here on my website here and make sure I get it just right. We are doing the event in 2 weeks in Los Angeles. The event is called the website would go down right about now. It's the LA Summit that's in Santa Paula. And it's in March. Let me go off my notes instead of the website. I don't know why it won't load. Also, the one that I have put together that many people haven't heard of is the Shanghai Tunnels Terror Con, and the tickets will go on sale soon. It is in Portland, Oregon, and we'll be going down into Chinatown's Shanghai Tunnels. And Mike Jones is our curator, and we'll have a lot of people speaking at that event. Mike Jones will be one of them. He'll speak about the history of the place, and we'll have Chad Zumwalt and some people from Mystic Earth, a lot of vendors from that. And we've got somewhere between 40 and 50 different paranormal groups from that area that have committed one way or another to coming and speaking. Brian Hanoi and the co-manager of TAPS, Jeff Leeper, said that they would be able to attend. And we'll be staying at the Shiloh Hotel, which was built in 1992. However, it has been said that it does have paranormal activity. We do have a conference room, and we have tables and chairs, and we have lots of speakers that will be lined up and that will be announced once we get the event posted. So I'm very excited about that. We have another event planned shortly after that, and then we have a HalloCon planned in October. So we've got a lot of things going on and more that will be announced later on in the year. The March event, let's see if I can get this thing to come up. Why is this not coming up? It's 8th and 9th of March, I do believe. Why is this not coming up? I've been talking about it all afternoon, and it wants to act like this now. It's in Santa Paula at the Glen Tavern Inn. The Glen Tavern Inn is a 100-year-old hotel. It was built in 1911. And it has had a sordid past. It's known for being a speakeasy, and there's been several deaths there. It is known to be haunted. And all the people that will be speaking there are people that were nominated by the people, voted on by our fans, and they'll be receiving their awards. So this is the L.A. Paranormal Summit that formerly was known last year as the Frontier Paracon. So you can go to hauntedentertainments.com, and you'll see the link that will take you to the ticket event where you can buy your tickets. Very low tickets, $40. The price is very inexpensive. And so I hope that people will take advantage of that price. And I'll let you know more about the Shanghai Terracon as that is posted. Since it's in June, we've got a little ways, but I just couldn't wait to tell everybody about it because I have always wanted to go into the Chinatown Shanghai Tunnels in Portland, Oregon, and we'll be going into a newly renovated area that a lot of people haven't been in before, and Ghost Adventures just finished doing a special there, and they released a lot of paranormal activity they reported they received there. So I'm very excited about taking a nice group down there.
Oh, nice. I've been booking a lot of clients off of Haunted Entertainment to come on the show. So giving the support and the love.
Well, give us a call. Give me a call and I'll be glad to help you book some people. Just let me know who you want and I'll get in touch with them for you.
Send me a message on Facebook with your number because I lost all my contacts, so I need to get your number back in my phone.
Oh, sure. No problem. Well, thank you again for having me. It was such
an honor to have you on. I'm so glad you came on and chatted with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. I do want to go ahead and tell everyone my personal website address. It's www.paranormalpros, that's PROS.com, or you can reach out to me on Facebook. My name is LeiTreanna. My last name is Brown, and I'm connected to a lot of people throughout the United States. If I can't reach out to you and get you some help that you need, I've got a lot of friends and people that I can reach out to and try to get you whatever help you can, and I will pray for you always. You know, I believe in paranormal unity, and I'll do anything I can for you. I mean, my heart and soul is in this job, and I truly love it, and I care a lot about these two men. I really enjoy listening to their show, and it's been an honor to be here. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. You have a blessed evening.
Thank you. You too. Have a great night.
Okay.
Cool.
That was Leitriana Brown, everyone, demonologist, a good friend of mine, and so glad she came on. And look up her website, her Facebook, and whatnot, if you need to find out more information for her. Next week, we will have a gentleman by the name of Thomas Fusco, who has been doing a lot of scientific studies of paranormal anomalies and how they actually work, kind of in the same lines of some of the other guests we've had with David Roundtree and Larry Flaxman. So he's got some theories out there that he's been doing some research on that kind of link things that happen in the paranormal field and also in UFOs and cryptozoology type fields. So we will have him on next Sunday. He's also going to be on Terrify Radio on this network, the same website, on Tuesday on Terrify Radio with myself and Miss Jody Parks. We will have him on. Tomorrow is Into the Darkness Radio with Brittany Johnson and Matt Sensarik. Don't know who their guest is, but they always have a great show. And just check out our lineup. If you didn't actually get to listen to the show, or obviously if you've listened to the show, you've come to our site. But check out on the front page of that, of the www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg. And it's got the lineup and the hosts of every show that we have on this network. And we're so thankful to have all these great people. And keep your fingers crossed. I might have another show in the works for Friday night. So that's what's going on in the realm of Unknown Radio Network. So did my plug in there. Oh, if you're interested in being a guest, we kind of dropped the ball the last several months. Jeff and I used to say this all the time at the end of the show, but you can get a hold of us. You can email me at kevin@unknownpg.com, or you can email jeff@unknownpg.com. If you have any questions about becoming a guest on the show or suggestions of folks that we should book, or just any general questions, or maybe you have a question that you want us to ask one of our guests that are on the show, just feel free to do that. You can also talk to Jeff on Facebook under Jeffrey Sterl, or
if you can find me.
Yeah, and you can also contact Unknown Paranormal through the Facebook page. Spirit Casper is the name that it's under. Or you can go www.facebook.com/unknownpg, and you can find it that way as well. Check out our website, www.unknownpg.com. We're currently doing some upgrades to the site and putting some more information out there. So that's our site. And I hope everybody enjoyed the show tonight. And hopefully next week, Jeff will be able to sing Happy Birthday to Martin.
Yes.
So,
also before we go out there, I want to wish my parents a happy anniversary. Their anniversary was yesterday, and they are celebrating 40 years of marriage.
Well, my parents in June will be celebrating, I believe, 45 years of marriage.
Nice.
So, Jeff and I have that in common that our parents have put up with one another for all these years.
Yeah. That's the statement.
All right. Well, we're going to get off of here. Jeff's going to play a song to get us out.
Oh, yeah.
So, Jeff, how are you?
Here we go. Have a good evening, everybody. See you next weekend.
Sound of